Okay, now praise our God.
Excuse me. Welcome. Welcome to each and every one of you this morning. I am not Pastor John. I'm a little smaller and I don't have a full white face. I'll tell him you said that. Grass does not grow on a busy street. Or on cement. Who said what? Norm, I want nothing from you today. Few birthdays. Joyce and Dan aren't here. They're traveling, I think.
Yeah, they are.
They are. Bruce Craig has a birthday on October 1st. Dave Thornton, Dave and Edith up in Elliott Lake. Dave has a birthday on the 1st as well. And Betty Porter has one on the 2nd. She's around somewhere. There she is. Hi, Betty. There are other things to think about today and this week. Look at the bear tree over there. We still have 2 weeks left to bring your hats, your mitts, your gloves, your scarves, anything for winter, for kids and for adults, because adults get cold too. Oh, and by the way, 5 inches of snow in Calgary, Alberta. Good for them. Phil and Gina asked me to remind you about the upcoming Remembrance Day service. If you have old pictures, memorabilia about Remembrance Day from a family member, that on Sunday, November the 10th, will be the day we'll have the table set up and Day of Remembrance. And the same Phil and Gina, where's Phil? Phil, oh, there he is. Phil has an announcement. There will be a rain date. We'll let you know. It's coming soon. Bring a raincoat. Yeah, there you go. Linda Nuttall wanted me to remind you all at Friday, 1 p.m. It's not this Friday. Yes. It's this Friday already. This Friday at 1 p.m. here at the church, she's going to be having a World War I and World War II battlefield show. Good for you. Got that? Okay. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. I'm sorry that Ted isn't here today, because yesterday him and the county cordsmen were at Highway Church and they gave a concert, and then with them was a 4 young men called the Young Guns. If you ever get a chance to hear this quartet, they are the ones. They are amazing, really. They've been singing together since they were in high school. Now they're in their 30s. They've traveled all over the world, Young Guns. Upcoming events, Ladies Vision, Thursday Bible Discussion Night, Saturday the 5th, Fall Cleanup here at the church, and prayer time, of course, 7:30 on Saturday nights. Now, am I missing anything? I don't think so. Anybody else have anything to say? Remember the refreshments? Oh, yes. See, thank you. I told you to put your hand up. Linda's getting a new refreshment schedule together for those of you who participate. Anyone else who wants to participate, she'll be not handing it around this week, no. So as we speak, all you ladies look in your mail slots today, and there's a schedule for you. And men too. Oh, phew. Huh. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Father, I thank you for each one who've come into this place. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the time to honor you with song and praise, honor you with prayer, honor you with the word. I pray that, Father, you would move amongst this group today. Remind us of how much you love us. And, Father, we might grow in grace. Father, you look upon each of us. You look upon our hearts and our minds. You see our physical bodies. And, Father, we think of people who are in need. But we give you thanks for Sheila's son who's been made an elder. We pray for Irmgard's difficulties and problems that only you can handle, and you have. Did not take long. Father, we lift up Lynn, her daughter, her boyfriend's father, who needs this surgery. Father, you see him, you know him. From the beginning, you've seen him. And we lift him up to you, Father. Father, for Stephen and Don, as they travel from Israel back to Canada, we lift them up to you and ask for traveling mercies, and that you would be glorified in them as they travel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Rhoda. Thank you that we can praise you that she was able to get up, find Rob. And Father, now I pray that you would work with the doctors, whatever they have to do to bring him back to health. For this we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We lift up Vivian's sister Abby, who's been in the hospital now for 2 weeks, continues to lose weight, 90 odd years old. Father, have your way in her life. May she look upon the face of Jesus and say thank you. Thank you, Lord. For Dave up in Elliott Lake, who has pneumonia, Lord. They've gone through so much. And Father, I lift him up and ask you to put your hand upon him. Be with the doctors. Give them wisdom as they take care of him. Bring him back to full strength, we ask. For Vicky, who has asked us to pray for family members who are not saved or who are walking a different path. And Father, there is no one who will ever say at some time before the Father, you are not real. Everyone will bow the knee. And Father, for all those in this place who have family members who are not walking as they should, according to us, but God knows their hearts. God knows where they're at, and God wants them to come to him. Draw them unto yourself, Father. Be the one to do this. Thank you, Father. We lift them up to you. Thank you. We think about this area being one of the premier areas for the sex trade, sex trafficking. Father, I pray that you would just give the police, give all those in places of authority, divine wisdom to see and to root out this thing that destroys so many people, so many families. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Father, we thank you for Paul, for his chemo. And Father, he just mentioned to me this morning that he has it on Monday and just goes downhill from there. And Father, I guess that's the way of chemo. But we thank you that we have chemo. We thank you that we can use radiation to help those who have cancer. And so, Father, we thank you for everyone in this place who's fought and is still battling that dreaded disease. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we lift up our song leader, Tonga, and Christina, and the children. They seem to be at a point where their house has not sold, and they need you to intervene. And they're willing to say, Father, whatever you have, let us be mindful and still. As Paul said, Isaiah 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Quieten our hearts, Father. Quieten their hearts. Give them the peace that passes all understanding this morning, that they might know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray for Mark and Leanne, for their second oldest, for Lindsay. Oh, Lord, people hurt and people get hurt. It's part of life. But, Father, we just feel so helpless when we're so far away that we can't do much for them. But we can. We can pray. And as a body, we can lift this young lady up and ask you, Lord, to be with her, guide her, bring people close to her that can help her raise this little one, help her be there. Thank you, Lord. We pray for Dominic, who's broken his arm. Oh, Lord, thank you for physicians who can put the break back in place and put on the cast. Bring him back to strength, Lord. Heal his whole body. And then remind him of how much you love him. We lift up Richard and Suzanne. Thank you, Lord, that today they're celebrating the life of Suzanne's mom. Give Richard strength to be there for Suzanne. And Father, as they travel now around, I pray, Father, for your traveling mercies. And give them rest. Give them your joy. Thank you for our pastor and his wife. And Father, we lift them up to you right now. Wherever they may be right now, I pray that your peace would flow in them, that they might know that you are a God who just restores back to strength. Father, we get sometimes so down, we need to remember that you are not down ever. You are God. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Hold up. Because I was looking at them and rather than looking at him. Eh? So I've gone back to my regular way of preaching, and that is, you're looking at me, but you're hearing him. Amen. I hope. Amen. I hope. If you have your Bibles, and if you don't, why not? We are in church. 1 John, chapter 1. I'm going to give you verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life. This which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And fellowship is with the Father. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make your joy, my joy, complete. May God add his blessing today to the reading of his word. Well, I thought I would just give you a few ideas first about this little, it's not really a letter, so you don't, it's not really a letter. It's three sermons. 1, 2, 3. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. They're all sermons. Why do I say that? Because they're addressed to no one. I don't address my sermon to the church at Wasega Beach Community I don't address him, well, neither does he. He's speaking a sermon to someone. Who might that be? Well, most of the commentaries that I spend time reading and looking at and studying, I'm looking for the who, what, why, and when. Okay, who spoke? Why did he speak it? To whom was he speaking? Well, the first thing I can tell you that we know that John the Apostle is speaking. Not just John the Apostle, but John the Apostle when he was a very old man. And now you're getting the message from another very old man. Thank you, Donna. I just appreciate that. Give you some idea of how this lines up with the rest of Scripture. Many years before that, John wrote the Gospel of John. Then he was sent to the Isle of Patmos in exile by Caesar. From there, he wrote the book of Revelation in visions that he had seen. And then he had to write back to the churches. Back in what? Where was he back at? Well, he was pastor back then to seven little churches. How do we know that? Well, if you're a student of the Word of God, you'll know that when he wrote Revelation, chapter 1 of Revelation tells us about seven churches. Let me see if I can do them. Ephesus, yes, Thyatira, Sardis, Pergamum, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and I've missed one. Smyrna. Thank you, honey. She's there. She's a student. So those are the seven churches that John is writing this sermon to. Why was he writing to them? Well, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, apparently some teachers came in who were teaching new things to the people in these seven churches. And he was seeing things that were not scripturally, doctrinally, foundationally correct. So he felt that he had to bring this sermon to them and remind them of all that he had learned, all that he had seen, so that he could come back. They would come back. And if you read Revelation in the first, second, third chapters, you will see that God had something against every one of those churches. Does God have anything against this church? Yep. Thanks, Norm. Those seven churches had problems. Do we have problems? Individually, do you have any problems? If I said, how many of you are really thinking about your kids and the trouble they're having? Well, these people were having troubles. John was, he got out of exile. So guess where he went? Back to those seven churches. And that's where he died. They say probably in Ephesus. But something else about the Apostle John. He was the youngest of the apostles. And when he was doing this, the rest of the apostles, including Paul, were gone. He was the last one. So he wanted to remind these people that he was the last one, and he is going to give you something that you need to remember. Not only remember, hide it in your heart. Take it right into your being so that you will know something. So the purpose of these three little sermons, letters, whatever you want to call them, they're foundational. Oh, when we look at this very first verse, we see that which was from the beginning. Have any of you heard anything like that before in the Bible? Somebody hollered it out. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning. God. In the beginning. That which was from the beginning. So whoever or whatever he's talking about here, because it says that, he hasn't mentioned anyone yet. He says that which was from the beginning. It's also echoed in another place in the Bible. You already know. Somebody else say it. The Gospel of John. And here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made that he did not make. That's the Word. Think about that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. My, get your head around that. And he was with God from the beginning, and nothing was created that he did not create. The Word. Ooh. I keep going because I have points. I want to make sure I don't miss any. So here we are, John, 1 John 1, and he says, that which was from the beginning. Notice, the second word in that verse is which. But all of a sudden, you're going to see a whole bunch of more witches. Oh, excuse me. W-H-I-C-H. Sorry, ladies. He says, listen, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of life. Think about that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, which we proclaim concerning the Word of life. The Word! But John says, I've heard it. I've seen it. I've touched it. He's talking about the Word. It says so. The Word. I touched it. And I proclaim that this Word did what? Became flesh. And that's what he is seeing now in his days gone back. What is he seeing? He's seeing John, Peter, Matthew, come, follow me. Did they go back and tell their mom and dad? There seemed to be some authority in his voice. Come, follow me. And all of a sudden, over a period of a day or two, I would imagine, he had 12 men who were following him. And they saw him with their eyes. They heard him with their ears. They touched him with their hands. They ate with him. They slept with him. They traveled with him. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. Wow. If you go back for just a second here, in John's gospel, and read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. I said that already. All things through him were made. Okay? John was not himself the witness. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Do you think that the world today recognizes Jesus? Do you think the world today recognizes Jesus? Or is he simply Jesus Christ? Hey? The world doesn't recognize him. I have to remind you guys of last week. That young man who came over here from Youth for Christ, he said it. Two generations have gone by now where most of them don't even know that there is a Bible. They get no teaching at home about what is right and what is wrong. And if you want to really hear it, go back to Judges 21:25, and it says there, "And every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Are we an entitled bunch now or not? They feel entitled for everything. Where our mom and dads, they work their fingers to the bone just to make ends meet. They raise their children. I'm going to say this. They didn't spare the rod. They didn't spoil the child. We have a bunch of spoiled brats. Excuse me, that's the way I feel.
You're right.
Thank you, folks. Okay. Now here it is here. 14, verse 14 of John 1. Not 1 John, John 1. The gospel. Verse 14 says, "And the word became flesh and made his dwelling with us," or among us. "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only." And how did he come? He came to you and me. He came to the world back then. He came to the world, and he always will be. He came full of grace and truth. "I am," he said in John 14, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There isn't a person who comes unto me but through me." Comes to the Father but through me. That's who he is. He was with the Father from the beginning. He was with the Father, and creation was made through him. He came down to this earth for one purpose, and one purpose only: to save the world. The world. How many know that the world is broken? Yeah, the world is broken. Nature is broken. And then he came to save every peon that's ever lived, like me. He thought nothing. He thought nothing of saying, "I'm coming, but I'm leaving Carl out of the picture." He saw me in my unremarkable state, and yet He loved me enough to come into this world just for me. And fortunately for me, many here are also part of that same body of Christ. What a thing that is. I get very emotional about it because, you know what? Every one of us here who have come to Christ didn't come through the four spiritual laws, didn't come, you know, let me say this. I was sitting in my living room contemplating my own life, where I was going, what I was going to do, how I was going to be, and I recognized something, that I was going and being and doing everything in the wrong way. I'd been married just for a year or two. I knew that everything that I had been doing had been wrong. And I knew that if I didn't do something, this little lady over here, she's smarter than that. She would have walked away because of what I had become. So there I am sitting in my living room, fireplace is on, I'm having a drink of beer. I finish my beer, I go out to the kitchen to get another beer, open the kitchen, the fridge door, and down from there falls a little tract at my feet. I pick it up, put the beer back in the fridge, go back out to the living room, sit down, and I read this little pamphlet right through. Not once, not twice, but about four or five times. Here's me. I said, okay, God, if you're God, reveal yourself to me. Boom! He hit me. And where did he hit me? He hit me right in my heart. My heart broke, and the tears began to flow. That's called transformation. I said, Father, if it takes me to say to you that I am a sinner, I am the chief. If you want me to say that I now know that Jesus Christ shed his own blood on the cross for me, I believe. And if it takes me to say, come into my life, come in. There was nobody standing there telling me all about Jesus Christ and evangelizing. And it was me and him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I could see Jesus. I could see him on the cross. I'm not going to get emotional because still today I see him, that he's one who died for me individually. And every one of you should have some kind of a testimony just like that, maybe not as bold and bravado. You may have been led to the Lord by your grandma, sitting there reading the Bible together, and you write in there, I give my heart to Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I haven't even got off the first page. We're here for a long time. No, I'm just going to continue on. Are you getting the idea about this word? In the beginning was the Word. You and I have never seen Jesus. Correct? You and I have never seen Jesus. We might have heard them. We've never touched them. He's touched us. He's aware of your every thought. He wants to change you into the person of or like Jesus Christ, his son. And the question comes up all the time. What will you do with this Jesus? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, he gives us the Holy Spirit. You know, back in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches a message and tongues of fire come down and all those people, and they start speaking in other languages. Well, do we speak in other languages? Some of us do, some of us don't. That's not such a big deal, though. What is a big deal is the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you say, I believe in you, Jesus, I believe in what you've done for me, I thank you for the cross at Calvary, I thank you that you were raised from the dead, I thank you that you can come into my life, that you can change me in an instant. And I will never, ever, ever be the same. But maybe you are. Maybe today you're the same as when you said, Jesus, come into my life. Some might feel that way. But he says, mature. Become mature in your faith. So while we're in here, we love one another. Love one another. When we go out there, we love those around us. We don't give them the finger when they go by us at 150 miles an hour. Oh, I hear a laugh. Huh, seems like it's happening. Well, others have spoken about this word. Paul the Apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:23, and in 2 Corinthians 4:5. In 1 Corinthians 1:23 it says, we preach Christ crucified. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. He's my Lord. He is risen from the dead and he's my Lord. Hallelujah. So, getting down to the final thoughts here. How many of you know that there are two types of life? Two types. There is the physical life, and there is the spiritual life. The physical life is what we can touch, feel, get hurt, get sore, catch cold, whatever. The spiritual life, we can't see, we can't taste, we can't touch. Others do. Is that true? Others do see Jesus in us, or they see something. Physical life. Some people say, I don't need God because I'm a good person and I live good and I should be, he should accept me just the way I am. To that I say, okay, but what does your DNA show? Scientists just came out about a month ago and said, they have now got the genome sequence all together, and guess what? It goes back to one couple. Boom! Something we knew all along. Right? One gene. One gene. When Adam and Eve said, I will eat, changed the perspective of all humanity because it was direct disobedience from God. There is none of us left out of that. We are all in sin from the time we are born. All. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I remember reading that in that little pact that I had way back 40-odd years ago. But just like yesterday, I feel that good about it. We're about to take communion. I don't know about you, but I get so emotional about communion. For it was Jesus who said, this is my body, which was broken just for you. Can receive that. This is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed just for you. Does that leave anybody out? We all have the ability to say yes. We all have the ability to say yes. But I love communion. Well, the first life is physical life. The second life, of course, is spiritual life. We have to live in this body. But if we've been saved by the blood of Christ, we have the spiritual body in us as well. Whom do you listen to? Do you listen to your physical body? Or do you say, Lord, thank you that you are in me, that you are helping me live daily, becoming the person that you would have me to become, and that is more like you day by day. I think I'm there. As a matter of fact, folks, we're going to close there because I want to have communion. I will invite the elders, folks that I've invited to serve, to come down. Join me here. I'll go that way. So the lesson in the Word tells that he was sitting down for dinner with his disciples. They were having a good time talking, and like people do when they're together having a meal, they were having a good time. Unless it was my house, it was always a bad time. When I grew up, everybody was fighting to get the food. We didn't thank God for it or nothing. There it is. Let's go. So they were there. They were just lounging. They were having a real good time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, he stood up. Took a piece of bread. And he said, guys, take and eat, for this is my body, which has been broken for you. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. So this is something he gave us almost like a law. But it isn't quite a law. It's more called an ordinance. Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. I'm going to pass out the fellow's going to pass out the emblems. Then we'll take and eat together. It is a time of reflection, a solemn occasion, but one of great joy that we remember the broken body of Christ. Shall we eat together? In the same manner, he picked up the cup or chalice or wouldn't be a glass. He picked it up. And he said, "This, fellas, is my blood, new covenant, new covenant. Behold, the old is gone, the new has come. This blood is being shed for you very soon. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this so that you will know that my body, which was broken, bruised, and bled, and died just for you." The last thing that Jesus said from the cross was, "It is finished." Gives you a shiver. Once for all, way back then, he died for all mankind, past, before him, and all futures. It tells us that in the Word of God. And so as we partake of this cup, we do so being mindful of his great sacrifice for us. Father, thank you for communion. We thank you for this cup. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. Continue, Father, to make us into your likeness by your Holy Spirit. Thanks to Jesus. Amen. Let's drink together. You have a song and then I'll do better.